Welcome to the Indianola First Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. Our prayer is that this message will inspire you, encourage you, and launch you into life-changing action.
Well, Merry Christmas. There it is. All right. Hi, guys. I'm here. Merry Christmas. As you can tell by the how this church has, threw up Christmas, you know, it just... What erupted, that's the word I was looking for. You can go ahead and turn this down a little, Braden. But how it erupted in Christmas, also by a little bit of my outfit. And also, the weather just forced us. It's Christmas time, guys. Thanksgiving is over. All those holidays are past us. We got Christmas. Who's excited for Christmas? Just a few people are excited for Christmas. Great. It is awesome. I'm ready for Christmas as well. This is how I want to start today, okay? We're going to do a little bit different, all right? It is Family Sunday, if you can't tell. There are kids up here, and actually, you know, there's probably people at home. We're so glad that you have visited, you know, you're with us online. Hopefully, you're sitting with your family and having a good morning, maybe coffee, hot chocolate. I don't know what you guys like. Go for it. But how I want to start today off is I have a question. I'm gonna walk around. And I want to know something, all right? I want to know what is maybe a Christmas gift that you really, really want. And if you were to get this Christmas gift, how are you going to respond? How are you going to respond? And maybe, you know, adults, I get it, you know, you're not quite as like, woo, anymore. So maybe when you were a kid, there was a Christmas gift that you really wanted, and you were just so excited that you had to tell everybody about it, or maybe it brought you to tears. I don't know. Or maybe you fainted. I don't know how you respond. I'm terrible at responding with gifts, actually. Like when I get a gift, I'm usually like, oh, cool. And I don't know how to respond. I'm terrible at it, okay? But I want to know, what is that gift that if you get, you might just like erupt. You have to tell everybody. I don't know. So I'm going to come down and I'm going to ask you guys. All right. So I'm going to start with Molly. I already prepped her for this. Okay. So I want you to think, and if they're kids or adults, I just want you to raise your hand and I'll come over and ask you. All right. So Molly, come here, stand up. All right. So what is the one gift that you're looking forward to, and how will you respond if you get that gift? And don't lie. All right.
I'm looking for Dancing with the Stars tour tickets.
Okay, so Dancing with the Stars. Now, if you get that, she's not.
you said that last
time. I don't know. How are you going to respond to that?
I would probably cry.
You'd probably cry?
Again.
Who would you tell anybody that you got it?
Yeah.
Who'd be the first person you called?
Ava, probably.
Ava, yeah. Probably they watched the show all summer or all whenever, fall, and then they just talked about it all day. So she will probably scream and cry and then tell Ava first. And then who else has a gift that they're really looking forward to this year? You know, you're just wait. Okay. All right. I'll be back. We got the camera following, so it's cool. They'll just follow. It's fine. All right. All right. Easton, right? Come on. What you got? Here, I'll come to you. That's better. What's the gift you're looking forward to?
Angry Bird stuffy.
Okay, and what's going to happen if you get that Angry Bird stuffy? Are you going to freak out?
Maybe.
Maybe? All right. What are you looking for, Drew?
A turtle.
A turtle? Like a live turtle? Oh, boy. Okay, what are you going to do if you get that?
And a tank.
What's that?
And a tank.
And a tank. Yes. that's great. Yes. All right. Are you going to tell your friends that you get a turtle if you get a turtle? You gonna take it for walks? Yeah. Do you take a turtle on a leash? Never mind. We won't worry about that. All right. Who else? Okay. Let's go over way over here. We'll go way over here. All right. All right. Just real quick. We got a couple more. There's a point to this. I promise. All right. All right. What are you hoping for?
A guitar.
A guitar. What are you gonna do if you get that guitar?
I'll play it.
You play. You're going to be the kid at the camps that go to the bonfire and then everybody just kind of flocks there. The Zek of the future. all right. Here we go. One more. We'll do go right here. One more. All right. What do you want, Danny? What are you going to get?
Barbies.
Barbies? Oh, my goodness. What are you going to do with Barbies? That face explains it, and that's good. I'm glad I get to end with that face right there, because we get so excited. Thank you. Let's give it up for the camera crew. They did awesome today. I made them run around. That face says it all, and the excitement within us says it all. And I want to give you a story. I'm gonna let you in to a story of my life, of something that I really, really, really wanted. All right? But here's the deal. We have to make a deal, okay? Here's the deal. I'm going to tell you this story, but it's a little bit embarrassing. And you guys can't make fun of me after church, all right? That's the deal, all right? No making fun of me. I'm going to be vulnerable, and I'm going to be transparent with you, but you can't make fun of me, all right? I'm looking at you over there. Don't make fun of me, okay? All right, so years ago, back when I was in college, Megan and I were in college, we were dating, and I don't know, just the words, "I love you," to each other was like very important to us. And we didn't just flippantly say it. And actually, we were dating for 3 months. And in those 3 months, it was around Christmas time, I finally felt like the Lord was like, "Hey, you can tell this girl you love her." And I was excited. I was pumped. I was like, "Yes, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to make her a gift." All right. And actually, I have the gift right here that I made her. I made her a book. Okay. And through those 3 months of dating, I learned a few things about Megan. I learned that she had this whole thing about, like, she loved hands. And the reason she loved hands is because, you know, like, they tell a story. They can tell a story of somebody's life, you know, if they have scars, if they're wrinkled, if they're whatever. And she would specifically talk about, like, Mother Teresa's hands and how big of a story Mother Teresa's hands could tell. You know, just all that she's helped and all that she's done, and she really loved Mother Teresa. So I was like, great, all right? And so what I did was I had this idea of I will get a picture of her hands. So I tricked her. I actually tricked her. I got one of her friends to go and tell her that for one of my projects at school. Lord, forgive me for lying. I should have done that a long time ago. I got one of her friends to go and tell her that I had a project at school and I needed a picture of her hands. So this friend went and took a picture of her hands. I got that, and then I got a picture of Mother Teresa's hands. I didn't go to Mother Teresa and get it. I just took it off the internet, okay? And so at the beginning of this book, I put the picture of her hands in there. And then throughout the book, there's inspirational quotes, there's pictures, there's memories of things that we did over those 3 months or over those year and a half where I was like, "Will you please date me?" And she was like, "No." So we have just a whole bunch of different quotes and things in the book and inspirational pictures throughout the whole book. And at the very end of the book was a quote by me. And it was, "I love you." All right. And that's how I told her that I loved her, was she read through this book and she got to the end and it says, "I love you, me, Donnie." And so she read it and she cried. And I was so pumped to give this to her. And I gave it to her during Christmas time. And this time she was living in South Dakota and I was living in Illinois. But I gave her the book. She read it. And after she gets done reading it, she's crying and she's like, "Thank you." And I was like, "What? No, say I love you back. Like, I said I love you. I made this book for you. I'm not very creative, so to do this was way out of my comfort zone." And she's like, "Thank you." I'm like, "Oh, great." You know, and I kind of knew that could have happened. It was fine. We talked about that before. And so I leave the next day, and I go home to Illinois. And I was like, she'll say it eventually. So for the next 3 months, I would say, "I love you," and she would say, "That's nice." Or I would like, "I love you," she'd say, "Thank you." "I love you, see you later." You know, that's kind of how the nights of the days would end when we were hanging out. She just wasn't ready. And so for 3 more months, that would go on. And at first, I was like, easy. This is going to be easy. I can make it. I understand she's not ready to say she loves me. It was a big deal to us. And so I was just like, "That's fine. I can handle it." Well, as those months went on, it got harder and harder and harder for me to say I love you and her just to say thank you. I was like, "Oh man, this is really difficult." Well, I will tell you that one day it happened It happened. She was finally going to say that she loved me. And I'm leaving a lot out of this story because there was a lot that God did through those 3 months and through her telling me that she loved me. But for the sake of today, the day came and we were out for a run. We were running because she was training for a marathon and I thought she was hot. So I was like, hey, this is the only way I can hang out with her. I'm in. So we would run, you know, if I had to run 6 to 12 miles a day to hang out with her, I'm cool with it. So I was running with her, and she was on our run. We stopped, and she's like, hey, let's go on a date tonight. I'm like, yes, let's do it. So we get back to the dorm. We change. We come back down, and we went to, again, we're in college, so we don't have a lot of money or anything like that. But we end up going to Noodles & Company. And while we're at Noodles & Company, she has this book, a poem book, and she reads this poem all about love. And as she's reading it, it starts to click. She's going to tell me she loved me. She's going to tell me she loved me. I know she is. I'm ready for it. I'm so excited. I'm getting more and more excited. And she gets to the end of the poem. This is where we're starting to get into the embarrassing part. Okay, guys? So she gets to the end of the poem, and she says, I love you. And I'm like, yes! Woo! I'm so excited. I'm just pumped that she does it. And I'm like, hey, how about I tell those people over there, strangers, over there that you love me? And she's like, no, let's not do that. Be cool with this, all right? And I'm like, no, I want to tell everybody. This girl loves me. I've been waiting for this, and she loves me, and I want to tell the world. And so she's like, don't tell them. I'm like, all right, I won't. So we start going back to the dorm, and we're walking, skipping. I'm skipping. She's walking. I don't know what happened. I turned into just a little kid. I don't know what happened. But I'm walking, and I say the I don't know. I'm not going to say. Okay, I say, I felt like the Buddy the Elf moment happened, but Buddy the Elf hadn't happened, so now it's me, I guess. I don't know, but I feel like a kid in a candy store who just got all the candy in the world. Yeah, that's the appropriate response to that. I said those things. Those are words that actually came out of my mouth, all right? My daughter called me dumb for saying that, but I said it. And, you know, I'm just so excited. We get back to school, and we get in the elevator, and there's some strangers in there. I'm like, hey, she loves me. She loves me. You should be excited. They're not. Get up to my dorm, and I don't know, we're 20 years old, and I run to my roommates. And I'm like, hey, guys, Megan said she loved me. And they're like, yeah, they're so happy for me. I was like, this is weird for 20-year-old dudes to be like, yay, you know, but we did that. And then the night goes on. I get a little hungry, so I again, I don't have a lot of money, so I make me some more noodles. I guess I love noodles. I ate ramen that night, and I call Megan, and as Megan and I are talking, I was like, hey, I'm eating some victory ramen. And so that was the joke for a long time of how dummy right here ate victory ramen. I was just so excited that and so happy that she said that to me, that I wanted the world to know. I wanted everybody to know that she loves me and that she told me that. And I just had this message inside of me, that message, and I wanted everybody to know about it. And I felt like as I was typing this up and in my mind that I wonder if, and I think that the shepherds might have felt that same way. They might have felt that same way in Luke 2:17 when it says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. These guys were excited. They were excited. They were pumped that they saw the King of Kings who was just born. They couldn't help but go tell everybody that they knew about what just happened. They wanted to shout it from the mountain that Jesus Christ was born. I want you to think of that time in your life where you heard something, you seen something, somebody gave you news that got you so excited. Like when Megan told me she loved me. Like you got that excited that you just turned into whatever, a little kid, and you just couldn't help it, but you wanted to tell everybody. I bet when you got that news or you got that gift, you couldn't wait just to shout it from the mountain. I believe that is exactly how these shepherds felt when the angels came to them and told them about Jesus. But before we can go spread this news, before we can go spread the news, before you can spread the message that Jesus is King, I think there's a few things that we need to do first. We need to do before we can go and just let everybody know. The first thing that we need to do and that they did is we need to hear the message. So point number one, hear the message. The kids all have papers that they can write all the points on. They can draw pictures, stuff like that. So if you got one of those, that's the first thing you need to write down. Hear the message. Luke 2, 14 through 15 says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." We can see here that the shepherds had heard a message. And if you were to read verse 13, you can see that a host of heavenly angels actually appeared to them with this message. Just put yourself in the shepherd's shoes for a moment. Just imagine that one day you're out there and you're just hanging with all your sheep. I don't know, maybe you're bored, and so you start talking to the sheep. "Hey, little sheep, how you doing? I'm glad you're here. Say hello to you." No. You know, you're just talking to your sheep, and then, boom, instantly, angels just appeared. They appear to you, and they just start, I don't know, in my mind, they start singing. Angels just start singing. I'm not going to sing, but the angels sang, and they're like, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And they tell you all about this king who is born, but not just any old king, but the King of Kings, and he is born. I think if we were out there all alone with the sheep, that we would probably be a little freaked out. I don't know about you, but I'm probably running. You know, I'm just out of there. It scares me. It scared me. They scared me. I'm out of here. Or maybe you scream. I don't know. But the shepherds didn't do that. The shepherds stayed and they listened. And when the angels were gone, they left to tell everybody that they heard this message. That's what the shepherds did. I believe God sent angels to those particular shepherds because he knew they would respond with willing hearts ready for the message. They had hearts that were ready. If you ever want to spread this message, which we are supposed to do, then you need to hear the message. And if you ever want to hear the message, then you have to make sure that your heart is ready. Our hearts need to be ready. Let me show you what I mean. I picked a couple people earlier, but Kyle, could I have you come up here real quick? I'll show you what I mean about having your hearts ready and workable. It's funny when you preach and you just carry around things. Well, how many people are just like, "What are you doing? Why do you have that? What's going on?" I guess you have to listen, all right? No. Here, Kyle, you take this Play-Doh. There you go. And Solomon, come on, bud. Solomon came with the right sweater on, so I chose him for this, all right? Hey, you stand over here so they can see you, and you stand right there. Let me get this out for you. Whoop, watch out. It's okay. Bad Play-Doh. All right, I'm going to ask you guys to sculpt something for me, okay? And we'll see how well that you guys do this, all right? So Solomon, Kyle, it's not a race, but you could race. Go ahead and can you make me, let's do something easy to start with. How about a snake? Can you make me a snake? Yeah. Now, if you can't see, Kyle's is crumbly. He's not weak. He is strong. He can handle Play-Doh, but his is crumbly. And is it hard, soft?
It's hard.
It's pretty hard stuff. Let me see how you're.
Mine is squishy.
His is squishy. It's very easy to work with. You know, so he's making it's a thick snake, but he's got a good snake over here. Yours is scaly, not very good. All right, here, let's do this. Go ahead, work that out a little bit more. Very good. His form, you're not doing so good, Kyle. Look at him, man. I wouldn't take instructions from him, all right, on how to make a snake out of Play-Doh. All right, let's try something different. Can you do let's just do a ball. Can you do a ball? Hell, you're a grown man. This should not be that hard, all right? All right, you got a good one. Okay, let's do one more thing. You have to get the vacuum later. He's the one making a mess, all right? Okay, let's do one more thing. Can you make a heart? Can you make a heart?
No.
No, you can't make a heart? You give it a shot. Oh, how about a pancake? You're doing a good pancake there. A piece of pizza?
Yeah.
All right, give me a piece of pizza. We're going to do pizza.
I'm making my heart first.
Oh, we're going to do heart. We'll finish on the heart. I love kids, by the way.
This is what pizza looks like at my house.
I didn't ask for after you ate pizza, though. All right, let's see what you got. That's a pretty good heart. That's a pretty good heart for the time I gave you. That's good. All right. Yeah, there we go. We'll squish it down a little more. There you go. All right, let's go ahead and give these guys a hand. Thank you. You can take that with you. Don't play with it, though, until you get home. Here, let's put it in her. You better leave yours. You made a mess. All right, there you go. Yes, good job. Thank you guys so much. Let's go ahead and give it up for them one more time. But that's what I'm talking about having your heart workable. We need to have a soft heart to hear the message. We got to make sure that our hearts are not hard, because what the Lord is telling us and what we have to share, the gospel that we have to share, we can't be hard-hearted. And in fact, the Lord warns us time and time again throughout the Bible of having hard hearts. It says, Ephesians 4:18 says, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of hearts. The words in these scriptures are not awesome words to hear. Darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God. You know, we don't want to have that. And that's what happens when our hearts are hardened. Romans 2:5 says, having a hard heart is like storing up wrath for yourself. Jesus warns the Pharisees and the disciples throughout the Gospels to not harden their hearts. Hebrews 3:15 says this about not hardening a heart. As has just been said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as you did in the rebellion. We need to make sure that our hearts are ready to hear the message. The only way to do that is to make sure that our hearts are soft and are workable in the hands of a loving God. We need to give him our heart and let him work it like the soft Play-Doh so that we can hear the word and that we can send the word and spread the word out. In Jeremiah, we are given scripture about a potter who working his wheel, and the potter shapes and molds the clay as the potter knows best. The master, the Lord, Jesus knows best. Let's give him our heart. Let him work our heart, mold our heart, so we are ready once we hear that word, which we hear it, that we can go. And how do we do that? We need to get into the word. We need to read our Bibles. We need to pray. We need to talk to God. We need to stay humble before him. That's how our heart stays soft, so we can hear the word. We need to take the example from the shepherds in Luke and hear the message of the King of Kings, and that he is born and that he is here. When we have heard the message, we have to make sure that we don't mix up the message. So let's make sure our hearts are soft and are workable in the hands of a loving God so we can hear the message. Once we hear that message, the second thing and the second point is we can't mix up the message. That's the second thing you're going to write down. Don't mix up the message. What do I mean by that? Don't mix up the message. Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but sometimes we as humans can hear something, it can rattle around in our brains, and then we can spit out something totally different than what was told us. I know this because I've done marriage counseling before, and we do this thing in marriage counseling every once in a while. I call it share, check, share, where maybe the wife will share something, and then we'll ask the husband, what did she just say? And the husband might say something like, she thinks I'm hot. And you're like, well, that's not what she said. She actually said that when you get home from work, you need to take a shower because she thinks you're so cute after that. But instead, you come and you sit on the couch all dirty and you stink, and so does the couch now and everything. So you need to take a shower. But out of all that, all I heard was she thinks I'm good looking. So we hear something, it gets up there, we spit it out, and it's just a mess. I also know this because I am a parent. I am a parent to, and I'm sorry I have to use Molly again, but I'm a parent to a wonderful, beautiful, smart girl named Molly, who I love. But I will give her simple instructions like this. Molly, clean your room, pick up your dirty clothes. That's simple, right? And I'll come back an hour later, and I'm like, Molly, why isn't your room clean? Well, I heard you say that I needed to watch one more episode of Dancing with the Stars. I needed to text my friends. I needed to get a snack. I should have taken a shower. She hears all of these things. And I'm like, no, the simple message here was to clean your room, pick up your dirty clothes. It gets mixed up. And we can't do that with the Word of God. Let me give you one more illustration. All right, Pastor Amelia, who is a great, awesome pastor. And we should give it up for Pastor Amelia. Let's go ahead and give it up for Pastor Amelia. She is great. I asked her to get me 10 students who would help me with this. So if you were one of those 10, I think Lainey, you're one. Lily, I need you up here. Who else was in there? I have a list somewhere here. Don't worry. Who else? Collins, I think you were in there. Yeah. I don't know where the list went here, folks. So you guys have to remember. Who did she call and tell? Okay, here we go. Jude, yes. All right, yeah, now they're coming. All right, there we go. Now we got it. Come here. We're going to play a simple game, and I think you guys remember the game. Maddie, I need your help too. Great. I think you guys remember this game. Here, come here. Let's spread out this way. Lainey, come here. Right here. All right. Let's see here. Oh, yes. Forgot about you all. Here we go. How many you got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, gee willikers. It's numbers. All right. Okay, so you guys remember the game Telephone, right?
Yeah.
Here are the rules of the game, all right? And I'm pretty hardcore on these rules, all right? You get one chance. One chance. So Maddie is going to, I gave her a sentence to tell Lainey, and then Lainey, you're going to tell Baylor, and so on and so forth, all right? But you only get one chance, and we're going to see how it starts and how it ends, okay? So are you ready? All right, go ahead. I could have made it easier, I guess. I don't know. If they get this right, it messes up my whole illustration. Oh, take it off the confidence monitor. Carson, change screens. Oh, I need the microphone. Let's see what we get here. All right, you ready? Do you know it?
Yeah.
All right.
Pastor Amelia is the best and she loves her family.
Okay, all right. That was pretty close, but it still got mixed up a little bit. The actual sentence is, now you can put it up there. If you guys would have just looked, it was right there the whole time. Pastor Amelia is an amazing pastor who loves her family, Jesus, and the kids of Indianola. So that was pretty good, but it still got mixed up a little bit. And that happens. Let's go ahead and give it up for these awesome kids here. Good job. Thank you, guys. That's all I had for you. It was easy. It was easy. Thank you. Thank you. Whoop. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, good. You guys go ahead back down. Thank you very much. Yeah, keep it up for these guys. They're the best. Now, of course, that was just a simple message, and you can see how easily it gets mixed up as it goes through, and I think that happens a lot in our minds and in us. We hear a message, and it just gets mixed up. We cannot do that. We can't mix up the message when it comes to Jesus Christ and what the Word of God says. And we see in Luke that the shepherds did not mix up this message. Luke 2, 16 through 18 says, "So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." These shepherds are some amazing guys. They are so awesome. They go and they hear and actually see the message. Then they go off and they tell everybody exactly what they had seen and what they heard. And I know they didn't mix up the message as sometimes we do because of how the people who heard the message responded. They didn't respond with confusion. They didn't respond by being argumentative, but they responded in amazement. It says, all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. It wasn't mixed up. It was exactly what they seen and they heard, and that's what they told. The message of Jesus Christ needs to be heard by everybody. But it's up to us who have heard the word not to mix up the message. I think I want you guys to really understand and carry the weight of that. I think there it might just sound like words. Don't mix up the message. Okay, I get it. But there's some weight to that. It's really important. That point is very, very important. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. During the telephone game, the kids accidentally changed the message a little bit because of what they thought they heard, or maybe because they couldn't hear, but they changed the message a little bit. And it's scary to me that there are people out there in the world who are changing the gospel to make it say what they want it to say, to make them feel better, or to make other people feel better. And that's a scary place to be, because there will be a day where we have to give account of everything that we say that comes out of our mouth. And we have to make sure that we're not changing this message of Jesus Christ to fit our itching ears or anybody else's itching ears. We have to make sure that the message that we are shouting for the world to hear is straight from the Word of God. Not from our truth, not what we think is truth, but what is truth. And this Word is truth. And that's what needs to come forth. That's what we need to be spreading. That's what we need to come out of our mouths. So we first hear the Word. We don't mix up the message. And the third point is that we have to spread the message. This is important. We have to spread the message. Again, if you're writing that down on the sheet, this is point number three. We need to spread the message. And we get to do that. So a couple weeks ago, I'm going to tell you another story, all right? A couple weeks ago, I woke up and I had a couple spots on my arm. And I didn't know what it was. But it itched. And I was like, what is going on? And it was just to myself I said that. I didn't say it to anybody else. But it was just a couple spots right here, and I didn't know what was happening. But as the day went on, I realized that those spots I had there were now kind of moving up my arm. And like I had a spot here and a spot here, and I was like, oh no, what's going on? And then my silly mind starts working overtime, and I'm like, oh geez, what's going on? I have all the, it's only on this side of my body. I don't know what's happening. There was actually 2 days where I couldn't sleep because, again, I didn't tell Megan that I had this. I was just like, I got these spots. They itch. I think we might have bed bugs. I don't know why that was what popped into my head, but I was like, I think we might have bed bugs. We're going to have to burn our mattress and our sheets and our house. We're going to have to burn it all because I have bed bugs. I don't know what's going on, which is a silly thought to have. So I go, hey, Megan, I don't know what this is, but it's spreading. It's up my arm, and now it's on my hands. It's on my face. It was up here at my eye. And I was like, what? I don't know what's happening. She's like, well, why don't you call your doctor, Dr. Amira, and ask her what's going on? I'm like, okay, I will do that. And I did it the next, she told me that night. So the next day I was like, okay, I'm going to call her. And before I called her, I took a look at it and I was like, you know what? A couple days ago, I was helping my friend clear out a whole bunch of brush and fence and all these weeds and stuff like that. I think that it might be poison ivy. I just think I might have some poison ivy. And so I call Amira, and Amira's like, yeah, that's what it is. You don't have bed bugs. I'm like, yes, I don't have to burn my house down. Woohoo! You know, but this thing, this poison ivy, spread like crazy. It went up my arm and went onto my other arm and went on my face, like I said, my hands. And I was just like, oh my goodness. So I went and got a shot to calm that sucker down. And everything, my anxiety calmed down, all that stuff calmed down. But as I started typing this and thinking about this, I got to thinking, you know what? What if the gospel that we can carry, that we have, would spread as quick as that poison ivy? What if we would take this message that we're hearing, that we're not mixing up, and we spread it to our friends? the people we know. You know, we get so excited about gifts, and we get excited about, you know, Megan saying she loved me. I get excited about that. You know, we want to tell everybody. What if we did that with the Word of God? You know, just spread it to everybody we know. That is what the shepherds did, Luke 2:17. And I know we've read this a few times, but Luke 2:17 through 18, it's just a good reminder. It says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds heard and saw the gospel right in front of them, and then they had the instant thought and the action to go. They're like, we are going to go, and we are not going to be ashamed of this message. I'll tell you this, that little guy that was right here, standing the whole worship set, I was like, what if we all lived our life like that? Sometimes I don't go to the front. As an adult, I don't go to the front because I'm like, everybody's looking at me. Nobody's looking at me, by the way. But, you know, you get that thought, and you start to like, I'm ashamed to do that at the church. I'm a pastor. And here you have this little guy right here willing to stand here and just pour his heart and his soul out to God unashamedly. And that was such an awesome display, an awesome thing that God was doing. And, you know, we need to live that way. We cannot be ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first the Jew, then to the Gentile. We do not need to be scared or ashamed to share what Jesus has done. We should want to tell people. We should be bold and excited and ready to go all the time and spread the gospel. We've been commissioned by Jesus to spread the gospel to everyone. Matthew 28:19. You guys have heard this a lot, but I think it's worth saying again. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We hear the message. Amen. Come on. That's why I don't ever want to leave youth or kids ministry, man. They are just on it. Matthew 24:14, Jesus says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. If we are so excited and happy about Christmas gifts and just other gifts, you guys can probably see videos all over online where people are screaming and fainting and crying, and they were telling everybody because of the gift that they got. If I was so excited for those three words that Megan told me, that I was willing to act a fool in front of anybody and everybody, how much more should we be willing to go and shout it from the mountain how Jesus loves us so much that he would die on the cross for our sins? We should be excited. We should be willing. We should be wanting to tell everybody that we know that God sent his one and only Son to die on the cross, to go and to forgive our sins, that we could spend eternity with him. And I think, you know, as I love Christmas time, not only because of the decorations and the gifts and all that stuff, but I really love Christmas time because this is a perfect time to tell everybody about Jesus. It just seems like people are more open to the Word of God. I mean, you can listen to Christian stations, you can listen to non-Christian stations, and they're playing about Jesus's birth. How cool is that? You know, during this time, more people come to church during Christmas time, even if it's to see their kid do a play. There are people that want that are here, that are in the presence of God, and we just need to make sure that we're spreading it, that we are letting people know. Be like the shepherds. So you have heard the word. Don't mix it up. And then when we leave here, let's spread it faster than poison ivy on my arms. All right? Let's spread the gospel to everybody we know.
Thanks for being a part of the Indianola First podcast. Join us next week to stay updated on our latest messages.